Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And I'm going to bow in prayer at this time. Father, this is so important. What is so important? The Sabbath day. We are meeting with you, and you are meeting with us. What a wonderful privilege that is, Father. Sometimes I get overwhelmed just knowing that you are with us. And that you're here to help us, to guide us, to teach us, to strengthen us, to heal us, to lift us up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let it be so, Lord. Let it be so. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In the third chapter of Exodus, and starting with the 12th verse, and reading three verses here, Exodus chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me to you." I had many interests as a child, but the two main interests were history and English. History, because I wanted to know how everything came to be. And English, because I wanted to know the meaning of things. I wanted to understand the meaning of words. I wanted to understand why. You know, one of the greatest questions a child asks you as soon as they learn how to talk is why? Everything that you say, why? And one of the favorites my son used to say is, "How do you know? How do you know?" That got me sometimes, because I would just, you know, that you're always tempted to say, "Because I said so." That's not a good answer. Never was a good answer. And never will be a good answer. I want to know. And one of the words that caught my attention as I was reading through my Bible was the word "is." Now, the word is a small little word, but it's got a great big meaning. Is. That means exists. That means truth. If something is, then it's true. And if something is not, it is not true. If something is, it exists. And if it is not, it doesn't exist. That's intriguing. Because God said unto Moses, "I am." You know that we have these things in English where it's past tense, present tense, and future. And then I got to thinking about that, and that Bible is full of it. He was, he is, and he is to come. He that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, do any of you have any heroes in history? I have a lot of them. One of my favorites is Winston Churchill. Another one is, excuse me, Southerners, Abraham Lincoln. See, I lived all my life in Canada. I got an excuse. Also, a lot of my favorites is the royal family. And then people out of history like Napoleon and like, well, excuse me again, but I was fascinated by the life of Hitler. Some of these people in history, you just wonder what made them tick. Why they did what they did. But all those people that I have mentioned have one thing in common. What is it? They're dead. They were. They used to be. See, I accept by faith that anything that happened before 1951 is true. I believe that there really was a Franklin Roosevelt. I never met him, and I only read about him. I believe there was a Second World War. There's a lot of folks around that remember it and have told me that there was a Second World War and that they participated in that Second World War. I accept these things by faith. I believe it because there are reliable witnesses, people that have been through experiences. I read my history books. I watch television, documentaries. I go to libraries and just pick out any hero that I want to talk about or I want to learn about. And there they are. And then there are favorite authors that I have, like Charles Dickens or Alexander Dumas or Lewis Carroll or different poets and things. You see, because when you read their words, it's them talking to you. Whether they're living or dead, those thoughts were once in the mind of somebody and they wrote them down, and they live again when you read them. But one thing that I learned about the Bible was that when you read it, it comes alive. Why? Because it is the words, the thoughts, the intents, all the stories and all the things that were in the mind of God that were expressed through the pens of men who are inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is with us, is in us. And that is one thing that Jesus has over all the heroes of history. He was, but he is. He's not dead. And the Holy Spirit is in you, if you be not reprobates, as the Bible says. The Holy Spirit is in you, and as you read these words, they come alive. They quicken you. They put you in direct contact with Almighty God. The words that we read here, the Bible, is like a glass. It's like a mirror. You look into it and you not only see God, you see yourself. You see things about yourself. Some things you might like and some things you might not like. We have a living God. He is. I want to read you some things. Go to the Gospel, not the Gospel, go to the first epistle general of John. The book of John, 1 John. And let me just read some things here to you. You want to follow along in your book? Starting with chapter 1. And I want you to keep in mind the word is. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is with the Father and with Jesus Christ. We don't have fellowship with something dead. Our fellowship is with a living God. Our fellowship is with a living Savior. We have a living Christ that, because I live, ye shall live also. And listen what he says. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. But if we walk in the light, I'm skipping over here a little bit, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What an opportunity we have today to have fellowship one with another and with the living God. This is his special day. Oh, how much people miss when they don't understand the meaning of the Sabbath. The one day of the week where God, with all his heart and soul and strength, wants to meet with lowly human beings and have fellowship with them. Isn't that wonderful? And thinking about him being alive, we know he is alive. We know he is alive. Why? Because the Spirit that gets inside of us, when we are together in a group, in one accord, as we are right now, anything is possible. If you're sick, if you're distressed, if you need anything, Sabbath morning is a great time to receive something from God. We can be with Jesus every day through the Holy Spirit's indwelling. But the Sabbath, what a special time. We can meet with Almighty God who was, who is, and who is to come. It's very simple, this message that I have for you this morning. But I want you to be aware that we do not serve a dead God. We do not serve nothing at all. This is not games. This is not just myths. This is just not stories. This is serious. This is something that we need to proclaim to the world, that we have a living God who really did exist and who really did come down in the form of a man and who really did die and who really did shed his blood and who really did was buried. You know what I'm saying? And then he was raised from the dead and is alive forevermore, and he's coming back. The same way that he went away, he's going to come back in clouds. We are anticipating the soon return of our living Savior, Jesus Christ. And as the day approaches, how much more we should be attentive to the things of God, and how much more we should be looking into this Word, and how much more we should be studying to show ourselves approved, and how much more we should be loving one another and fellowshipping with one another and doing things together and just trying to get this message to everyone who will listen. The Bible does say not to cast your pearls before swine, but he knows who the swine are. We don't. We just need to pass the message along and let him sort it out. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you to those that have hungry hearts. Believe me, I know it. I pray the prayer every day, Lord, lead one hungry heart to me that I might satisfy it. Lord, I want to be the one that wins the last soul to Christ, and then would you please come? Because that's the thing. If we're not doing our job, souls are not being told this message. They are not being brought to him. God does not impose His will upon others, but we are to do that. The Bible says we are to compel them. A human being can compel or can persuade or can talk to another human being and try to convince them to get right with God. And the Holy Spirit will assist you. The Holy Spirit will empower you. The Holy Spirit is Jesus in you doing the work. This is not hard to do when the Holy Spirit prompts you. Anybody can talk about Jesus if they're enthusiastic about Him. If you love Him, obey His commandments. We need to talk about the commandments. We need to talk about the things that make Seventh-day Adventists unique are the things that the world lack today. And we do like to talk about our things that we are the same with them. But if we talk about the things that are the same with the rest of the churches, how are we reaching them? We need to talk about the differences. We need to stand up and talk about, well, the state of the dead. Well, the health message. And what else? 1,000 years where the world is devastated and Satan is alone on this planet. That is foreign to their knowledge. They have no idea that the abyss that Satan is tossed into is this old world devastated and all the corpses laying out on there, the feast of the birds, they know nothing about. Because we teach it, and we should be teaching it. Let everybody talk about, you know, come to Christ, receive Him as your Lord, and Percival, that's a man's name, Percival, but personal Savior and Lord. Yes, a lot of the churches preach that. A lot of them will preach 9 commandments. They choke on the 10th one. We got to preach that. That's our message. Those 3 angels, that's another part of it. The Elijah message. We need to preach what God has entrusted to us, and we need to preach it with enthusiasm. Why? Because He is. He said to Moses, I am. Not I think I am, or I hope I am, or just believe something. But He has a specific name. Jesus means I am Savior. So His name has not changed. And everywhere, and I was talking about this with Gene, everywhere that your King James Bible writes down L capital O capital R capital D, that really is to say, I am. It's the same word, I am that I am. And we do ourselves an injustice just by saying the word Lord and not really understanding what we are saying. Jesus said, many of you will say, Lord, Lord, but don't obey my commandments. So He will have none of us. So what is it that we are trying to say today? We have a living God. We have a living Savior. We have a great message. We have a wonderful fellowship. And I see a lot of you came for it. That's good. But I came today to meet with the living God. And the living God has come here today to meet with us. Let's meet together. Let's enjoy His fellowship. Let's enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let's get in one accord and let's get the job done and let's have Jesus come back and take us home. What do you say about that? Wouldn't that be a lovely thing? Aren't we looking forward to the coming of the Lord? Yes. And we've got the last Latter-day message. So I'm praying that each of us would be baptized afresh. And if you've never been baptized with the Holy Spirit, believe me, it's a wonderful thing. And it's nothing to be afraid of because He is not the author of confusion. The genuine, real Holy Spirit comes in quietly, sweetly, but you know He is there. For He changes you from the inside out. And you will speak with a new tongue. If you had a filthy mouth before, He'll clean it up. Yes, He will. And you will have the prophetic gift within you so that the Holy Spirit will help you to understand mysteries so that when preachers get up here and talk about the book of Revelation, the Holy Spirit will open it up to you. I think it's a wonderful thing that we have a God that is. And He still is active today in our lives. And anybody can have His Holy Spirit if they desire it. And now, I want you all to bow your heads. If there's anybody here today that would like to have a connection with God, that would like to have an experience that says, I know you, and He will say back to you, I know you too. If you want to have an assurance in your heart that you're heaven ready, that should Jesus come, your heart would be right with Him. And if there's any doubt in your mind that you are ready for Jesus to come, then I implore you, I ask you to repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you and to pour His blood upon your life and cleanse you and raise you up and make you a new creature so that there be no doubt in your mind, not one doubt, that you are heaven ready and that you'll belong to Jesus Christ. If there's anybody here that would like to know Him personally, would like to be saved, would like to have us as a church pray for you, and you want a connection with Him, then would you raise your hand? And if some of you would like to rededicate your heart to the Lord, reconsecrate, and ask for an infilling of the Holy Spirit, then you can raise your hand too, and the Lord will see, and the Lord will bless you. Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Amen and amen. Father, touch these folks that are consecrating their hearts and their lives to You, that want a refreshing from the Lord, or some that want to just know You, Lord, and have that assurance that they're heaven ready. Father, we just pray that that assurance would come and touch each heart, touch each life. In Jesus' name, amen.